Hello, everyone, and welcome to another installment of the ABFM podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Birch, editorial content manager at the American Board of Family Medicine. Today, I'm joined by ABFM senior advisor, Dr. David Price, and performance improvement program manager, Ann Williamson. We had a fantastic discussion about PI activities, their development, and how physicians can plan for success in board certification. Let's go now to our conversation.
Dr. Price, can you summarize the role and the benefit of performance improvement activities for family medicine physicians?
Most of our diplomates, if not all, are trying to do something somewhere, somehow to make their practice better. So there's that sort of real world stuff that's going on. And on the other end of things, we have this thing called quality improvement that is a field unto itself that's got relatively rigorous measures and sets of standards and so forth and so on. And in the history of board certification, this all started out as quality improvement. And what we've learned over the last 20 some odd years of trying to incorporate quality improvement in continuing certification, that the rigorous standards of quality improvement are a great goal, but for busy clinicians to ask them to do a lot of the documentation and a lot of the process behind it feels like more administrative work than they could potentially take on at this point. So what we're trying to do in our programs is maintain some of the rigor of trying to improve your practice, yet meeting the diplomates where they are and give them something that they feel they can do realistically that's meaningful for their practice, but doesn't result in a whole lot of administrative burden with documentation and so forth and so on. So what we've ended up coming up with to try to meet in the middle is a construct of figure out something you want to try to improve, measure it, do something to try to improve it, remeasure it, and reflect upon it. What did I learn? What could I do differently? So that measure, intervene, remeasure, reflect framework is what we try to incorporate into our quality improvement programs.
I know that the activity has evolved over the years. You spoke to it a minute ago. I liked a phrase you mentioned that the physician measures, intervenes, remeasures, and reflects. Has that always been sort of the structure?
Yes, it has been in one way, shape, or form. What we've tried to do over the last several years, in particular, as we've evolved the process, is to move from the very specified language of formal quality improvement toward something that makes sense for a busy family physician in their office trying to juggle everything that we have to do something that makes sense. So we've condensed criteria into this framework of measure, figuring out what you want to do, measure where you're starting from, do some kind of intervention, remeasure, and then reflect on it. What worked, what didn't work, what you might want to do in future practice.
Has there been feedback on the self-directed activity since its inception? Are physicians responding in the positive to this sort of clinical freedom, if you will?
So ever since the inception of the original self-directed activities, probably in the early 2010s, we've been getting feedback. We made a major revision, a simplification, if you will, in 2017, 2018 in response to diplomate feedback. But just as we are asking our diplomates, including myself, to look at performance improvement, we are continually on our end trying to improve what we do in performance improvement in general and in self-directed specifically. So we look for many opportunities to get diplomate feedback to continue to evolve our self-directed activities. Some of that has led us to do things like self-directed activities around COVID, which of course was a rather large preoccupation for most of us for the last several years. But we've implemented self-directed activities now in health equity. We've recently implemented self-directed activities around augmented intelligence and machine learning, trying to keep up with the feedback of what our diplomates are doing in practice. And we are continually, even for other self-directed things, trying to engage in conversations, trying to figure out what we can learn from our diplomates to continue to try to find the sweet spot as best we can of doing something meaningful from a quality improvement perspective that's meaningful to the diplomates' practice, what they are trying to do anyway, and to give us information to improve our programs going forward.
Are there common misconceptions about performance improvement or misunderstandings that you would like to address for the diplomate?
Yes, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that it needs to be complicated and it needs to be a like full-blown research project, and it doesn't. It really is, as David was saying earlier, a choose the measure that you really want to look at. You're going to measure that. You're going to complete an intervention to try to improve how you're doing. And then you're going to remeasure to determine, you know, did you make a change? And then you reflect, are you where you want to be? Or if not, what changes need to be made so that you can continue improving that thing that you've chosen to work on? Hopefully physicians are choosing things that really are meaningful to them to improve in their practice. So it's not something that's just going to be a one and done. It's really ongoing improvement. They only need to report one cycle of change to us to receive their performance improvement credit, but it's usually an activity that is ongoing and that they're continuing to work to improve, to meet the requirements that they have set either for themselves, their organization has set, or it's an overall requirement for the profession as a whole.
And do you have any advice for a physician who may be struggling to complete a PI activity? Are there resources available that we should point them to?
First of all, a number of us go to various chapter meetings, and we always go to FMX every year. So if you attend one of those meetings, come up to one of us and ask us questions. That would be the first set of advice. The second set of advice is you may have colleagues who have done this already. So it's one thing to get advice from those of us who work at the board, but advice from a colleague who may be having working in a practice that is similar to yours might be actually very enlightening as well. You can certainly also look at the various resources we have online, and you can certainly always send us a question saying, I'm struggling with I'm trying to get my head around what I can do. What advice do you have for me? So a number of different resources for folks to try to figure out what they might do. But I would say that the main goal here is to do something that you need to do or you want to do to improve your practice. That is the dog. The PI credit at the end of this journey is the tail. So my advice would be, don't let the tail wag the dog. Start with what you're really trying to get at in your practice, and we can help you in most cases figure out a way to have that count for PI to recognize the work that you're already doing, as long as it meets the measure, intervene, remeasure, reflect framework. Odds are we can make it work for you.
Thank you. And is there any part of the application process that physicians are most commonly hung up on? Any areas like data collection or summarization that we could provide information on ahead of time through this podcast?
I'll ask Anne to answer that from her perspective as well in a second, but I will say one thing about measurement that may come up sometimes relates to how do I get data. So in the early days of continuing certification, way back in the 2000s, the basic format was look at 10 charts, you know, do a chart audit, get your data, do something, and then look at 10 charts again. So that was a very manual process. that manual process might be necessary for some things that a diplomate might want to do in a self-directed activity. However, for many things, diplomates are already getting the data. So rather than trying to do chart audits and spend administrative time, if you want to solve a particular problem, see what existing data you already have available to you. So for many of our colleagues who work in health systems, we get dashboards of stuff on our hypertension metrics, on our patient satisfaction or communication scores, on our care gaps, so forth and so on. So if you've got that data available for you, that could be your baseline data. Then you do something, and then the next time you get that report back, that can be your follow-up data, so you don't have to do manual stuff and data gathering in many cases. And I would ask you if you see any other misconceptions or concerns challenging areas from your end.
No, I would very much agree. The data collection is probably the biggest question that we receive or pain point for physicians if they're unsure how to gather that data. As you were saying, there are a few things that may actually require manually going into the records and or gathering the data at point of care for some physicians, like if you're a locums physician and you don't necessarily have the ability to go back and look at the records after the fact, it may be that you need to gather it when you're seeing the patient. So there are different options, but the vast majority of physicians out there are using their dashboards. They're using the reports that are built into their EHRs that they're able to pull up and look at so that they see exactly where they're at. And many organizations are focusing their improvements that they're just doing already around those numbers that they're able to look at. So they're getting those numbers. They're like, no, we're not exactly where we want to be. This is something that our organization is going to focus on an intervention to try to get those numbers up. And then you're able to look at that dashboard ongoing many times. And then certainly after a period of time of completing the intervention, which is really the goal, is that's work that the physicians are already doing in their practice. And they're just reporting that work to us for their performance improvement credit. So they're not having to really go out and do that work to report to us. They're already doing it. It's part of their everyday work that they're doing in their practice, that they're looking at those numbers. They're trying to make those improvements. They're making those small changes to see if it makes the health and healthcare that they're providing for patients better.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We've reached the end of the questions I had written down, but I always try to ask if there's anything that comes to your mind, Dr. Price, or yours, and that we haven't discussed that you would like to mention.
One is ask. If you don't know or you're struggling, reach out to a colleague or reach out to us, either online through our resources or try to contact one of us to see if we can have provide ideas for you. The second thing, again, is start with what you're trying to improve in your own practice, either because your organization is doing it or asking you to do it anyway, or because it's something that really just is not right, doesn't sit right with you, and you want to try to improve it in your own setting. The third is be creative. So even within a disease state, you might find that our menu of options under diabetes or hypertension doesn't quite fit for you. Rather than feeling constrained, if you want to do something that's not on that menu, use our self-directed activity. But also be creative about other things. So I'll share an example of what I did for my performance improvement activity. Like many of my colleagues, and I do mostly fill-in work at locums work these days. I did a performance improvement effort on trying to be better at closing care gaps and best practice alerts. And for folks who use Epic and other electronic health records, they will very well know what those things mean. So my performance improvement activity was to try to improve my closure rate of care gaps and best practice alerts. So that was something that we don't have a set menu for. It was very easy for me to get the data that I was getting, try to make some interventions, and then use my follow-up data to submit a self-directed performance activity for my continuing certification credit as well. I was expected to do that anyway in the system that I practice in. So it was very much aligned with what I was trying to do rather than a one-off. And I actually learned some things in the process as well. So be creative. It doesn't necessarily have to be around the disease. It can be around the process. It can be around, how do I work better with my team? How do we do handoffs? How do we delegate role responsibilities? If those are sorts of things that you want to work on because it's important for your practice, be creative. And we can try to help you figure out how to do that.
Thanks so much to Dr. David Price and Program Manager Ann Williamson. If anyone listening has questions about PI or other board certification activities, email help@theabfm.org or call 877-223-7437. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the ABFM podcast.